We're glad you're here with us to share in this time dedicated to being aware always with our oneness with everything, with the loving God. So today I want us to look at practice. In your program, the title is Practice What You Understand. I think many of us say, I understand a lot, I just don't know how to apply it. So today we're going to think about moving this understanding from our intellect into our activity. We know the saying, practice makes perfect. We read about the incredible discipline of practice that athletes and musicians and others go through. Most love their chosen field, so practice is really a joy. It's what they want to be doing anyway. In your responsive reading today, Nona Brooks, a co-founder of Divine Science, cites the importance of practice. In the third, fourth paragraph, more is necessary than a mere intellectual knowledge of truth. There must be study, meditation, endeavor, bringing these truths learned into our daily activities. So we agree. We just want to know how. The intellectual knowledge is essential. It's only a beginning, a jumping off point. And because the beginning of any new skill is sometimes slow, imperfect, it's easy to get discouraged, give up, revert to our old, comfortable, familiar pattern of how we perceive and react to conditions and relationships. Nona Brooks says in the next to last paragraph, others can help us, but in the final analysis, we are the ones who must put our faith into practice. So today I want to remind all of us that also in your program, the Bible reading in the Old Testament says, this is the covenant, this is the contract that I will make with my people. I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you in your brain. I'm going to make you so smart that you'll remember all this stuff. It's not in our intellect. The heart represents our feeling nature. We are mind, and the activity of mind is thinking and feeling. And this God-given spiritual truth expresses through our feeling, our heart. And feeling is love and joy compassion, gratitude, and peace. These feelings come to us with no thoughts. We get swept up and overcome by the feeling. Just as in the New Testament reading, the father was so glad to see this misbehaving son. He forgot about, or he didn't pay attention, it wasn't important to him, how the son had behaved. He just, while he was a long way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him, was so glad to see him. That's our Father who art in heaven. This is a parable. It's not a story about an actual father and son. It's the way God loves us. He doesn't itemize all of our shortcomings. And that's the way we are to love. This love, this feeling, comes to us without any outer reason. It's a gift from God, always with us, ready to be recognized and brought to life. It does take practice to remember that love, peace, and joy are available. So how do we practice our spiritual understanding? How can we feel peace in the midst of a personal crisis? One way is to practice substituting God's presence for all the details that we want to give to what's going on in our world. It's interesting. Other people want to hear it. They're interested too. However, it keeps us in this world of up and down, of right and wrong, of duality. It keeps giving feeling to an era condition. Emmett Fox got this law of what we really nurture and feel dominant. He got it down to how to protect ourselves. And he says, he called it the golden key. Stop thinking about the problem, whatever it is. Think about God instead. Now, our human ego hears this, and it says, okay, I want to think about God, and as soon as I get this situation fixed, I'll be glad to be at peace. Right now, I'm too busy trying to work out what to do. And it is that attitude of taking care of the condition that keeps it coming up in our lives. There is a spiritual law. We hear it every Sunday. First in mind, then in manifestation. Cause starts within us, and what comes out in the picture, in the form, is the effect. It is cause that is the power. Effect, whatever the condition is, has no power to change. Jesus said, who among you can change your height? He used cubits. Who can grow a cubit? That's an outer situation. the inner is cause. And yet our habit is to look at the condition from every angle, think about it, dream about it, wake up thinking about it. And this is exactly what keeps the problem with us. Sometimes it seems to be fixed, only to pop up again with different people or in a new location. God's law doesn't change. Our outer world of circumstances, conditions, and relationships takes the form of what we nurture in our feelings. We may think that we can fake a cheerful attitude when inside we feel hurt and resentful. The law reads our true feeling and moves out and attracts circumstances that match. Dr. Seale says, the law gives us what we give our attention to with feeling. He says, it is as if the law says, oh, you're thinking about that a lot? You must like it. I'll give you more. And then the repeated feelings of worry and anxiety attract new conditions that are just like it. They bring more worry and anxiety. However, there's a bright side to this unchanging law, and that is, just as it works for our negative pattern, it also listens to our positive one when we're practicing loving, when we're practicing just being glad to be in this awareness that we are always with our loving Father. We begin to cultivate awareness in our daily activities. Beautiful sunny day, the flowers still in bloom, finding reasons to remember gratitude. And there's another side to this. We're not trying to manipulate these feelings to fool the law. It's not as if we say, okay, God, I'll feel peace and love, and then you get busy. We have a contract. You get busy and bring a beautiful, peaceful condition. It's when we don't think about what God is giving us. We simply become still. Thank God that we are forever in His care, whatever that turns out to be. We stop telling God what we need and start thanking God for everything, and it's before we can even see what this idea of God for our good is. It may look pretty dark. If we just rest in knowing God is there, all is well. I think all of us have been through experiences that seemed to be negative, and it turned into something that blossomed, that was so much better than what we gave up. When we remember that we cannot be separated from the loving God, this is practicing what we know. Paul said, when you do this by faith, he wanted us to understand what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You can see the volcanoes that form mountains. You can't see the Word of God that is the beginning of the volcano, that is present in the mountains. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Practicing feeling love in the middle of controversy requires faith that God really is in all, and all already is well. And this sets up the formula that reveals what God has in mind. We practice trusting in the unseen one power, all good. I want to close with an example that's familiar to us of this human way to think about things, even really amazing, wonderful things, and just think they're not going to happen. They never have happened to me. It's too good for me. And yet, nothing can limit God. And it's the story about 2,000 years ago of Zacharias, who loved God, was in the temple, in the most sacred part of the temple, by himself, and the angel Gabriel appears and says, Zacharias, your greatest desire will be fulfilled. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And Zacharias said, oh, it can't be. We're senior citizens, it's too late. He argued with the angel. He let his old pattern of limitation based on life experience take over. And all the while, God's power of good was present. The angel told Zacharias, I am the angel Gabriel and stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And sure enough, a son was born. He grew up to become John the Baptist. God needed a messenger to prepare people that the Messiah, the longed-for Messiah, was in fact around the corner, already born, ready to begin his ministry. And this man grew up, Jesus, and became so convinced, so completely aware of this inner good, the same good that's in us all. It's called different names, the Christ, the Father within, the Holy Spirit. It's all this inner power that we live with, and we have the ability to ignore or to associate with, to be aware of, to begin to practice just breathing it in, being one. Jesus knew, he said, of myself I can do nothing, of my human outer effect self, it's the Father within that doeth the work. And when Quimby touched it, when Emma Curtis Hopkins touched it, and it transferred down through others to Nona Brooks, for her it was a light that caught her up in the light, and she was instantly healed of a life-threatening disease. This is the same spirit active in each of us. It is the same loving power, now alive and awake, and we begin to practice it. Let us pray. Thank you, loving presence, for stirring up in each of us a new awareness of our connection with you forever. We ask your help to remember to practice this closeness, this oneness with you. So it is. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Marianne.